Hello, and welcome to another edition of Outside the Box, where the ideas are guaranteed to be unique and provocative, whether you agree with them or not. Today's topic is, what's there to eat? I've been a vegetarian for over 30 years. No meat or fish. And one of the reasons for doing that is because I didn't want to kill another living thing so I could eat it. But what's the difference between taking the life of a chicken or cow or shrimp and taking the life of a head of lettuce or pulling a living carrot out of the ground? Don't plants have feelings too? That question has bothered me, and it's hard to answer. Aren't plants just as alive as animals, whether they have feelings or not? The question of plant life versus animal life generates several kinds of responses. One is, I played Beethoven or Metallica to them, and they perked right up. Or, some eat insects, so how can they not have feelings? Or, they can feel pain, but they don't express it the way we do. There are also the meat eaters who write articles like, quote, mass murder at the dinner table, how smug vegetarians kill trillions of living things, unquote, even comparing vegans to Adolf Hitler. Of course, animals eat trillions of living things, too, to produce the meat that humans eat. On another side are botanists who say, but they don't have brains or central nervous systems, so how can they feel anything? However, there's no doubt from any of these folks that, no matter what we eat, we kill something. Or is there? I decided to search for a diet based on the ethic of not killing the things we eat. Do you know what a fruitarian is? It's someone who eats a diet based only on fruits and sometimes nuts. That's because, from an ethical point of view, fruit and nut trees regenerate themselves each year. Even if you pick the fruit or nuts, the trees don't die. Tomatoes, cukes, squash, and other seeded vegetables are often included. Being a fruitarian doesn't sound like a very nutritious diet, but those who practice it are determined to kill as little as possible. They also choose the diet for health reasons, believing only raw foods, not cooked ones, create good health. The Fruitarian Universal Network, or FUN, claims that eating fruits alone does provide enough protein. Nuts, of course, would add a lot more. But I was looking for a diet where all the food I eat had already died, so I wouldn't be the killer. Some fruits and vegetables are alive when we harvest and eat them, but many are not. Apples, pears, and other fruit, and sometimes nuts, fall off trees or bushes. Peanut plants die, and peanuts can be dug out of the ground. Sunflower and some other seeds are left after the plants die. I could wait for a tomato or a squash to fall off the vine. And how about dry beans that are harvested after the bean plant dies? Corn kernels can be harvested after the plant is frosted. They would have lost their sweetness, but they could be made into cornmeal or popcorn. The same goes for wheat and most other grains. Some vegetables with dying plants wouldn't make the cut. Potatoes, onions, and other root crops, as we know, may shrivel up in the fall, but they're sleeping, not dead. They sprout again in the spring. Are milk and eggs alive? They come from a live animal. Milk's got bacteria in it, so it's still alive. Eggs can produce a chick, so they shouldn't qualify. I tried to see if this kind of diet has a name. When I went on the web searching for a no-kill diet, all I got was references to dog and cat food at animal shelters. Kill-free diet led me to articles about how Diet Coke could kill me. But I found that the Jains, a Hindu sect in India who believe humans can live without killing, do have a similar diet. These are the folks who won't kill a mosquito or fly. Their diet is without the root vegetables, but with milk and yogurt. It's not totally guilt-free, in my opinion, but pretty close. There's a lot more to eating a less harmful, more ethical diet than whether or not the food is alive or dead. The booklet, 101 Reasons Why I'm a Vegetarian, argues passionately for an end to meat eating. Only one of those 101 is the don't kill 'em argument. There's also cruelty, the environment, nutrition, cost, and health. Barbara Kingsolver, in her book, Animal Vegetable Miracle, says that eating homegrown, grass or scrap-fed meat is better than getting vegetables or grains from hundreds of miles away. Her focus is local food, not when or how it dies. So what really is an ethical diet? What would it be for you? How does it compare with the way you eat now? If this feature gives you food for thought, send an email to news@weru.org or call 469-6600. I'm Larry Danziger, and here's wishing you great success today in thinking outside the refrigerator.